Li Zhen, is a spiritual astrologer and food grower. Their life's delight is to...
I love that. Hi.
Thank you. You're welcome. Hello. Oh, they say hi. Do you want to say hi, Lolo?
Hi, Prisoner. I do not know.
Hi, Lolo. Hi.
Welcome to Always On, a Yes podcast. This is Jovan Julian, the storytelling and alignment integrator at Yes. Yes is a 30-year-old organization that works at the intersection of the personal, interpersonal, and systemic change. We co-organize transformative learning spaces called JAMS with partners all over the globe, working together to co-create spaces of creativity, passion, and commitment. When musicians come together to jam, they bring their unique instruments, skills, and styles, and together create a new collective sound. We build on that premise, bringing together social change makers like activists, organizers, healers, lawyers, educators, artists, and more to collaborate and co-liberate towards the world we want to see. On this show, and throughout the season, we'll be slowing down to hear story from jam facilitants, guest staff members, and of course, yes jammers, with a focus on how folks are adapting, adjusting, and evolving to meet the moment too. We're grateful for your choice to slow down with us today. And I'm really excited to bring you the first episode of our podcast in 2021. We're joined today by two brilliant Jamily astrologers, Li Zhen and Giselle, that I've known for almost a decade now. They were older peers at Brown University in the TWC, the Third World Center community, and they played an integral role in introducing me to concepts like imperialism and sexism, heterosexism and homophobia, racism, imperialism, etc. They introduced me to concepts in the academic setting, but I had known about some of them beforehand. They played with me on the New York City Jam facilitation team in 2017, and they continue to be vibrant forces in their communities and in the Jam. I'm excited to drop in the conversations with them about astrology, friendship, and learning in the time of Corona. Li Zhen is a spiritual astrologer and fruit grower. Their life's delight is to listen to the wisdom of the planets, the earth, the sun, the moon, and beyond, and to help others tune in as well. She works with individuals, couples, and organizations to help align with their calling. Learn more at litzen.space. It's in the show notes, but if you're listening on audio only, it's spelled LIZHEN.space, SPACE. Giselle is a spiritual astrologer currently based out of Seattle, Washington, situated on Duwamish and Squamish land. Giselle, did I get those right?
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I just raised my hands in victory. Giselle's love for astrology was passed down from her mother and the astrology books from their childhood home. Giselle has been studying and practicing astrology since 2012. Giselle loves doing individual birth chart readings, teaching workshops, and sharing astrology at community events. Check out their site at GiselleCastano.com, GiselleCastano.com. Thanks so much, y'all, for joining, and welcome. Is there anything else that y'all want to say just to land and ground yourselves and share with the Jam community that is going to listen to this?
Just that you sound so smooth, Jovan.
Yes, thank you for inviting us on. And I'm excited to, it's exciting to feel and remember all of the faces from my jam history that will potentially listen.
Yes, and maybe future faces that you don't quite yet know, okay. But they'll be introduced to you here first.
Okay, I accept.
Yay. Having known y'all before I even started jamming, I think I wanted to start just hearing a little bit about your friendships. What was it like before the jam? How has the jam changed it or morphed it? What is adding astrology into your relationship done? Yeah.
Giselle tagged me to tell the story of our relationship because they don't remember.
That's not true.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're joking because Giselle's memory is fading a lot. So I will tell the story for our grandchildren. So we became friends at Brown University, like you mentioned, Jovan. And one of the funny little jokes we make with each other is that I recognize them as my friend before they recognize me as their friend. But they tell this really cute story about the moment they realized they loved me as a friend. We were studying at the library, or they'd been studying at the library. And I came through the library, I saw them, and I just laid down on the table and spilled all of my long hair out onto the table.
Cascading hair.
Cascading hair. And apparently that was the moment they knew they loved me.
See, I remember that.
Yeah. And we really developed a friendship through the program that you talked about. The program for students of color to explore all these isms and how they play out in the world, but also in our lives, and how to heal from them. And I think when we learned about the jam, Giselle went first. And the way they described the jam to me was like that program for adults.
It's really funny hearing you mention adult TWC, because that is exactly how Alia sold the jams to me when I first started going. She called me up, sent me a text, and was like, you need to do this program. I've been a part of it. It's like the TWC. It's like TWTP for adults. And I really tried not to go for a while before I finally went.
Same story here. Same.
Have y'all facilitated any jams together outside of the New York City jam?
No, we haven't. But we've done so, so much in our lives together. We have the jam in common. We have astrology in common. We've both learned some about each other's spiritual traditions. We've done a lot of healing in community together.
I feel like y'all are in my friendship goals universe for sure. My friendship, like... The constellation of friendships that I pull inspiration from in my own world, and that I hope I'm sending some friendship, love, and joy out into. You both came from Brown University. To me, one of the pillars of like Western Ivy League institutional type spaces, and have moved your lives into astrology practice. I'd love if you'd share a little bit about what that journey was like. Whether there were any challenges sort of stepping into that practice, and what are any lessons that you could give to folks who are figuring out how to step into their full selves out of places like Brown University?
Good question. I had no idea I would find myself dedicating my life to astrology. After Brown, I was a teacher in lots of different ways, in lots of different schools. I went to grad school to become a teacher, or to get licensed as a teacher, and worked in schools for a while. It was not the path. I was invited to learn astrology from our astrologer, Deborah Singletary, who is a life-changing Black artist based in Harlem. Yeah, so Deborah invited me to take one of her classes where she teaches astrology. I had been seeing her as a counselor for several years. After getting my birth chart read by her. It was one of those like clear yeses from the universe. I had no idea why or, you know, what it was for, but I said yes. Li Zhen also was in that class. So we started learning astrology kind of, you know, more officially, more deeply with she was our first teacher. And so, yes, in some ways, our astrology journey started together as well. And honestly, that sparked, a big part of me to start, disentangling myself from the education system. At Brown, I did a lot of And in my graduate school, I did a lot of fighting with my teachers in different ways, and it was painful. I think a part of me always saw a lot of the contradictions and, harms of the education system on our spirits, on our minds. I ended up being a special education teacher, and definitely, had a lot of critical perspectives on the education system and how exclusive and violent it was to many people, to everyone, actually. What I'm trying to say is that having come from Brown, I've had to unlearn a lot of how I have been conditioned to think about teaching and learning and productivity and, you know, and success in this world. I had no idea what purpose was. No one ever taught me to consider what my purpose was. And in astrology, you learn that the sun has to do with your purpose. And I found myself, lit up by astrology, and found myself having to learn a lot, read a lot. But it's also one of those spiritual sciences, there's a lot to learn and there's also a lot to believe in, and sort of surrender to the mystery and trust in your intuitive powers. And there's, I do preparation for chart readings. But in some way there, you can't prepare for it because so much of it has to do with what the person is needing, And, as I start teaching astrology classes to folks, I'm actually wanting to name a lot of the harms that schooling has done to us, and the conditioned beliefs about what learning is and how to learn something that you care about,
Thank you.
Siobhan, your question.
Oh, no, go on. Yeah.
Well, I just think your question is such an interesting question about what's it like to be astrologers, given our background in such a mainstream, fancy, exclusive, and in some ways oppressive educational system, and to do something so outside of the mainstream. I remember when I got to Brown, I had huge panic attacks because I felt completely academically unprepared for how rigorous it was. I was like, I do not know how to go to school like this. I do not know how to write papers. I do not know how to prepare for these tests. But as you're asking me this question, what it makes me reflect on is how in even the most mainstream in corporate spaces, there are pockets of misfits, of weirdos, of resistors. And I feel really lucky that I found that pocket. Both Giselle and I majored in ethnic studies, which is basically like the study of race and ethnicity in the US, totally not part of the mainstream track of Brown University, I think it really helped me dig for the truth of my family's immigrant background. It helped me dig for the truth that I was really buried underneath white supremacist narratives of history. And I think the thing I'm realizing is that in all of these pockets of mainstream society, there are people who've been holding my hand and teaching me how to listen to my truth. I think the jam is one of those spaces that's really taught me to listen more deeply to myself. And these exist to, they have guided me and they guide us. And that astrology has been a huge re-education, like Giselle is saying. I feel like I've had to learn a whole different education to become an astrologer that my Brown education has had no participation in at all. And in some ways, now that I'm 36, I'm like, oh, it's good that I was bad at school. Because now that I'm teaching astrology, I'm not relying on that way of schooling to do it. I wasn't, I didn't know how to do that kind of schooling. And that's been an asset because now I can find more embodied ways to try to share information.
I have hella gratitude for y'all and the paths that you charted at Brown and post-Brown, and saying yes to yourselves and saying yes to the TWC and saying yes to astrology, and reminding me that it's okay to chart the path that feels right for me. As someone who's also studying a PhD in mathematics and afterwards wants to go and study voodoo, I often, you know, have that challenge of like, what does it mean to mesh these worlds? What does it mean to account for the ways that I've been taught to learn, and how that actually separates me from deeper and older traditions that are doing much of the same thing? So deep gratitude.
Study the voodoo, do it.
And there are connections, you know, like studying ethnic studies at Brown was like a seed, you know, for like, yeah, something that, you know, unfolded to feel a lot more authentic. But that was my choice at the time, you know.
And to bring in the astrology. Sorry, were you gonna say something? Okay. Just to bring in the astrology, you know, people know this without astrology also, but we are in times of massive shifts, like massive shifts that are not over, that in some ways are just beginning. There's a thing that I was studying last year called Pluto returns, which is when the planet Pluto, which is really, really, really far away from us, it's the planet like furthest out in our solar system from us, it's going to come back to the same place it was when the United States was so-called, quote-unquote, founded. And when these things happen, there are like massive shifts to the foundations of whatever was founded. You know, so U.S. nationalism is going to go through a big shift. Anyway, I just say all this to say, I think we're in for massive shifts, and the tools we need for the next world are different tools. You know, like we need to study different things. I think so many of us are feeling called to study and remember traditions that weren't taught to us in our formal education. And like they are the tools and the skills that we need to navigate through the next shift. And I always say to people in my workshops, like those of us who make this transition early, we will be able to help other people as the shift and the breakdowns keep happening. So like, let's just go and adopt it.
I wonder if there are any other pockets of wisdom that you can share with the folks in the Jamily who are listening, either about where astrology tells us we're going, or also what does it tell us that we've been through in this past year? What was happening? What are the stars telling us and informing us about the journey that we've been on?
Well, to me, 2020 was a year of structural collapse and witnessing that slow structural collapse. So last year, most of my readings, I felt like I was trying to coach people through like cultivating, you know, new emotional skills to witness that and not try to build on top of it just yet. And this year, 2021, you know, I think all of us were hoping that it was just gonna like poof get way better, and it has really felt like just a continuation of a lot of major crises, one after the other, you know, since January. So astrologically, what helps me move through that is knowing that January and February are the most busy times in 2021 astrologically. They're the most planetary alignments. So, you know, knowing that I think helps me get through what continues to be a really challenging time, witnessing a lot of, you know, massive crises and you know, and yeah, and 2021 is the year of Aquarius. I'm not making any promises, but I do believe March we will feel some kind of shift out of this very busy January and February time. And moving from a year of a lot of Capricorn energy to Aquarius feels hopeful. You know, Aquarius is lighter and more innovative and visionary moving forward, and having like the emotional capacity to detach more from our past conditioning. So I'm hoping that that can help us spring forward more. And I'm telling everyone that, you know, Aquarius is the sign of the collective and of friendship. And I'm witnessing a lot of collectives, nonprofits, organizations, workplaces be going through a lot of structural challenges, needing a lot of changes, leadership transitions, like so much. And that it's the year to really lean into that and be brave about innovating the structures that your collectives are in. I'll pause there. What do you think, Lidzan?
Yeah, all of that. I'm also excited about the potential of what the eclipses can give us. Eclipses are very normal. They're part of our seasonal cycle, so we have them twice every year. So they're normal, but they do change signs over time. So we are in a time when the eclipses are in Sagittarius and Gemini. Eclipses are always in a pair of signs, a pair of opposite signs. And I'm feeling like eclipses happen in signs where we need them. This cycle of Gemini and Sagittarius eclipses actually started, guess what, in early June of 2020, which is when all of the protests and movement for Black liberation like completely erupted and took over again. And we have more of those eclipses coming in May, June, and November and December of 2021. And these eclipses have a lot to do with what Gemini, the highest vision of Gemini is to have a really open mind, to be able to change our mind, to be able to shift like outdated, rigid thinking. And I really felt that happen in such a huge way last year during that eclipse in June. It was like suddenly so many people were on board with admitting how much we need racial liberation. And Sagittarius is representing, you know, something that we can begin to let go of. And I think a lot of the Sagittarius eclipse is about letting go of some of that dogmatic thinking, like thinking that we're right, that we know, having really righteous thinking and reaching for that Gemini possibility of being more open-minded and curious about each other again. I'm hopeful that this will help us actually like re-reach for our connection with each other in what has been the most divisive time I've ever lived through. So that's something I'm looking forward to about this year.
I want to thank both of y'all for your willingness to share with me and with us as a Jamily, this knowledge and wisdom that you've been working on so long to craft and cultivate and learn. I don't know if you would use the word learn. Do you use the word learn around what you're doing? Learn. Yes. Okay, cool. Then we'll use learn too. And to share that forward so that folks can sit and work with it how they will. As I hear you speak about these lessons and these cycles that we're moving into, I wonder if there's any like sort of like if you could go into the past and share a message with yourself in 2012 when y'all were first stepping into astrology, what would that message be?
Such a good question. I'm just going to say the first thing that comes to me, you know, it's been 8 years since then. And in those 8 years, astrology has become hugely popular. It's like really grown exponentially. And I think something that I know now that I would go back and tell my younger self is like, take your time. this is such a big relationship you're getting yourself into. It's like every time I start a reading, I start with like this prayer, and it's remembering that what we're doing is being in relationship with the cosmos, with all these other planets out in space, and like remembering that we are part of this community of planets. And it's such a big relationship that takes up, that like, you know, brings me so far out into space and time. It's such a vast relationship. I feel like every year a new layer of it unfolds for me. And it's a really ancient tradition that goes back 8,000 years, you know? So I feel like I'm also getting into relationship with ancients from 8,000 years ago, and that something like this just takes time. And that's really beautiful to let it take the time to learn more, and to not treat it like something to consume, but really something to be in relationship with, and to honor those relationships of people in the past who made it possible for me to even study this, with the nature that's beyond the earth, all of that. Yeah. So that's what I would tell myself.
Really good question. Never considered what I might guide my younger self to do. But I think I would tell younger Giselle to I think right now I'm really craving more grounding, like historical grounding in this tradition. And so I think I would counsel younger Giselle to start there. I feel like I didn't try to connect to, you know, the like generations and different lineages of this tradition and how it came to be until later. And I wish I had had that foundation earlier, because it feels like backtracking and raising a lot of questions and doubt in my mind at this point. So I think I would have counseled younger me to, connect more with history and with the people who pass this tradition forward from generation to generation.
Thanks for that. What are y'all saying yes to this year in your practice, in your life, in anything?
Okay, I can start. I am saying yes to dedicating more time to working on gardening and growing medicine plants. I am saying yes to thinking seriously about moving my life away from city life, and maybe even thinking about purchasing a mobile home. I'm saying yes to teaching more astrology and trying to structure my astrology practice in ways that really feel good, you know, that feel like that is exactly what I want to do. It has been difficult to transition, my life, like working, using, like doing astrology as my main source of income since COVID happened, since like the summer of 2020. And it's been challenging to put a lot of pressure on this work that I love. And realizing I'm falling into a lot of like capitalist patterns of work and expectations. And like, I have to remind myself that I'm working for myself and I can do this however I want. So I want to say yes to structuring it in ways that feel really good and, you know, don't fall into the traps of capitalism. Those are some of the things.
The thing that comes to mind most and first is what I'm working on in my spiritual practice and my Buddhist practice, which is really just like even your question, like saying yes. I'm trying to just say yes to everything and to each moment. Recently in a retreat I was on by myself, I did a solo retreat while I was in a government quarantine facility and couldn't leave the room and had nowhere else to be. I was doing this retreat and I noticed how much, in all these little ways I never noticed before, like when I'm in one moment, I'm wishing I was doing something else and like not liking what I'm doing in this moment or not liking that I'm in the quarantine center, just all these little ways of not accepting what it is. And I feel like this past year has been such a tremendous challenge with a lot of loss, with a lot of compromise and sacrifice, but also tremendous beauty that I'm trying to take its invitation to say yes to what's given. So I'm trying to say yes a lot.
If you were gonna give one or two sentences of guidance to either jam teams or folks who are gonna be jamming this year, what would that be? Maybe that's too broad. I don't know if you can give, like, let's say you're jamming in the next 3 months. Is that enough of a time window? I don't know what a good time window is, but I'm just wondering if there's any sort of like thing to watch out for or particular types of questions that would be great to ask right now. You've peppered those in throughout, but I wonder if there's any particular nugget of wisdom that jam teams and jam folks who are about to jam can take from the stars in this moment. From the cosmos, I should say. It's not just the stars, right? It's the planets, it's the galaxies, it's how they're all connected.
There is this really nice little sweet spot between the middle of May and the end of July when the planet Jupiter is in a really happy place in the sky. It's in Pisces, its home sign, and Jupiter rules things like travel. It also rules things like faith and optimism. And it also rules connections in a way, like feeling connected to people. So that's just a really nice window in 2021 between mid-May to end of July. I don't know that it means we'll actually be able to travel, but it's a sneak peek into 2022 when Jupiter will be in Pisces the whole year, basically. So that's a yummy, yummy period that I'm looking forward to.
You know, I would say the jam itself is very Aquarian. The way that we cultivate community and also commit to holding what's difficult and moving through it and holding complex and conflicting needs and desires and compasses of reaction and panic zones, you know? And so I think the tools of the jam are really needed right now in our regular lives. So I think I might, you know, suggest that jam teams maybe integrate that or make more space for that, you know, to think about how, especially like people who've been jamming for a while, like how we can translate some of these jam tools into our workplaces, friend networks, organizing spaces, really intentionally, because we need it right now. People are coming together more and more. And, you know, like as governments completely fail to like support people in crises, mutual aid networks are popping up, and we need those networks to be sustainable, which means that we need the human relationships inside of them to be able to deal with complex conflict and panic zones and all of that. So I guess I would, I would suggest that making, you know, like supporting people in bringing the jam tools into their real lives might be really useful.
I want to thank y'all so much for being here. How can, if folks listening want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that?
Well, you have our websites, and we both have contacts on our websites, and you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. I know that both Giselle and I really love hearing from folks. We have workshops you can come to. You can just chat with us also. And so much love to the JAM community. It's really taught me how to be in community in a different way. And I think, like Giselle is saying, that is, there could be nothing more important right now while we're learning how to take care of each other. So yeah, contact us.
Thanks.
Yes. Awesome. And we are both teaching and, you know, reading individual birth charts. So if the stars speak to you, if this language speaks to you, please get in touch.
Thanks so much for joining us for creating our own little constellation from Atlanta to Seattle to Taiwan across multiple time zones, for slowing down and stopping in and sharing out your wisdom, your generosity, your smiles, your joy, and your histories and story. We are grateful to have you here. Hope to have you again on Always On, the JAM podcast. And we'll talk to you soon. Gratitudes. Be safe. Be well.
Mwah. Have love.
Thank you for tuning in to Always On, a Yes podcast. Join us in the next few weeks for more episodes of Season 2. And if you're interested in participating in a future episode, please email us at Jovan, J-O-V-A-N, at yesworld.org. See you next week.